Good evening and welcome to the Cycles of Change radio program. I'm your host, David Katzmeyer, coming to you live from the Meta Center in downtown New York. The Meta Center, where events are hosted, have been here before. Jody Sirota and Alan Steinfeld are co-producing tonight's event on New Beginnings, Cycles, New Beginnings, Structure and Rhythms and the Evolution of Consciousness. The panel discussion and network evening tonight includes Don Conroe, Gong Master, who has been working with sound and travels to some 12 countries every year, bringing his study of sound and vibrations to people. That cycles that comes through music and sound. And William, your last name?
Stick Evers,
who's filling in for Jenny Lynch, who couldn't make it tonight at the very last minute. But as one door closes, another one opens. We're going to have some wonderful discussions on cosmological cycles and a bit of the Mayan cycle, which is ending and beginning at the same time. And he's reminding us not to think of the end of the Mayan calendar as the end, but the beginning as well. And I, David Katzmeyer, will also be talking about the cycles of time, Kala rhythms, which are the cycles within a person, a nation, or a country. So here at the Meta Center, ny.com, we have our moderator, Alan Steinfeld of New Realities, which you can find at newrealities.com, who's going to be our MC. Alan?
Thank you, Dave Katzmeyer, who's been an old friend of mine. Actually, I've known everyone here on the panel for a long, long time. We've been presenting these panels here at the Meta Center, and the subtitle is always the evolution of consciousness. So we've had shamanism and the evolution of consciousness, crystal skulls and the evolution of consciousness. So there's nothing more that defines evolution than cycles. And here we are coming into a new cycle, the 13th year, the 12th month, 13, the number of the fine feminine. So I think we're coming into a new time, and we're going to talk about it from three different perspectives. I think before we really get into the discussion, I have one of my favorite cycles of time and rhythm and energy. Don Conroe is going to do a gong bath where, well, I'll let you explain a little bit. But the first time I ever heard Don do this, and everybody was lying on the floor and Don came over swinging this gong, I really had an out-of-body experience. I really felt transcended. That was, and it was the first time I ever heard a gong, Don. So do you want to say a little bit about what you're going to do on this gong bath?
Well, the gong bath, you know, is a moment in eternity. It's like an open window where time stops and we start to float in this timelessness. And during this period of time, it's really a time of grace, because what you think at that time, you feel, what you wish for becomes very important. And you can change the actual DNA in your body. You can change all of the different levels within your own system to what you want it to be. So the idea of healer, heal thyself first is sort of like what the gong says. And I say that because when you play the gong, you're holding up the gong, you're healing yourself first. So it's one of those things where you don't have to worry about being selfish, because as you play the gong for others, you get the benefit of it. So it's that thing that to reawaken in us spiritual knowledge, our youthfulness, our positiveness about the future, and maybe show us a way that we should go to serve humanity. I don't know. It depends on the individual.
Great. Good. So Don's going to get set up here, but I'd say, can we lower the lights a little? Because I think the it's okay for the camera, but it's you know, it's a sound experience. So really, let yourself go into the sound, because it's a transcendence. It transcends the mind. And Don's been doing this since 1969 when he picked up his first gong, or probably picked up a gong before that.
Now, this gong is a special gong. It has on it a hand, which is really the hand of Buddha.
Oh.
And so when Buddha was asked about his next reincarnation, he would say that his name was Maitreya Buddha rather than Gautama Buddha. The enlightenment would turn into friendship for everybody. So this represents the new world of friendship to all.
Is there anything people should do before they get... Was that a very long gonging? But this gong is very heavy. So it, but it does its job in just a short amount of time. I brought something else tonight I thought was appropriate. That's got to do with our cycles of time. So it's the sacred conch of the Mayans. Actually, this is... a series, which is Australian, but nevertheless, it's a powerful, powerful sound like the gong. And at this time, especially the last 20 years of the Mayan calendar, it's been the instrument. So we have two instruments now that really launch the new Aquarian age and the new Mayan calendar, which is the conch, and also the gong itself. Ganesha, the elephant.
Thank you. I'll just use the radio mic.
Thanks, Don. You okay? No, actually, it does keep you young, doesn't it? Yeah. Because I feel it in your body. I feel, we're sound beings. We're made of vibration. So I felt it really in the lower chakras there, I have to say. Felt good. So, thanks. I mean, it's a real treat always to hear Don's work. So we're going to start the discussion part with William Stickevers, who's a master astrologer. And I did this ceremony with him that was supposed to be done to create something I wanted on a special auspicious time. So he did this, my chart, we lined up the planets, and we did this talismanic ritual that was very effective. And actually, he has thousands of people in Japan who love this stuff. Nobody knows him here, but in Japan, he's a rock star. No, but also, he deals with Western astrology, but William also looked at the Mayan cycle. So let's talk about this new time. I think everyone could talk about this new time that we're moving into and how you see it and what are we coming into? What should we know? And how is this time different? Because it seems like something is different. I don't know. I don't think it's just December 21st, but the whole way all of us are relating and the way the planets are interacting seems very different than what it was even last year, 2 years ago. So go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Again, my name is William Stickevers. I've been a practicing astrologer since 1990. My initial training was in psychological astrology, but I broadened out into talismanic astrological magic, and then later on worked with.
Do you want to explain what that means, the talismanic?
Yeah, the idea of using capturing planetary energy into objects that then can invoke transformative processes, similar to what many people go to traditional therapy to achieve. So this was very much part of the tradition of astrology up until the period of Enlightenment around 1700. Then it was reignited again after it went out of style because of the resurgence of psychological astrology and the focus on the discussion of where prediction was taken out of it or the use of magic. And there was a resurgence of bringing magic back into astrology in the early 2000s with Christopher Warnock and Renaissance Astrology. And today, that type of astrology is proliferating very well in Asia and in Europe, and it's still getting to a slow start here. But also what I ended up going further into is transpersonal astrology, especially going very deeply into the works of Richard Tarnas and Stanislav Grof, and looking at the value of LSD psychotherapy in conjunction with astrology as a means to identify and work with various basic perinatal matrices accelerate the use of therapy while employing astrological principles in those processes. That got me into looking at what we would call mundane or geopolitical astrology, because many of the issues many of my clients worldwide were dealing with were issues much bigger than they could handle in their personal or in business life. And so I got very interested in the work of Dr. Jose Arguelles and the Mayan factor. And from there, I started an exploration of that. And at the time, I was reading quite a bit of Stanislav Grof's work, The Cosmic Game, LSD Psychotherapy, and various other papers that he wrote. And I was very intrigued about how both these men, from very different viewpoints, was articulating the same thing, that basically, for all intents and purposes, that the long count calendar event is a period of purification, a period where humanity must undergo a collective spiritual death, rebirth, transformation, in order to overcome its dark and destructive nature. So therefore, what it was very clear when I looked at what the Mayans were talking about and comparing it to the mundane or what we would call world astrology forecasting models, that we were undergoing not a single moment of change, but an era of change. And that's something that was really overlooked by the media. Even many of the Western astrologers couldn't properly articulate this. And many of them took sides that 2012 means nothing, or 2012 is, you know, no one could really explain what 2012 is. And so I decided to really sort of commit to the process of articulating it as best I could and explaining what Arguelles and what Graf and what the Mayan elders, most importantly, were saying about this period, about this Mayan 2012 end date. Essentially, from what I see, that this period that the elders talk about specifically based on their method of their book, the Chilambalam, that this is a period where scarcity of essential resources, food, fuel, water, and economic distress will continue to intensify. Now, this period they're talking about was to begin from 2012 into 2030. Okay? So natural disasters will accelerate and increase in frequency. The K-tune of this period talks about the end of the Word of God. For the Mayan elders, this will be a period where there will be a collapse of false belief systems, both sacred, religious, and secular, such as science based on mechanistic materialism, sort of the type of science we see today, as a new paradigm begins to emerge. Thus, people will lose confidence in religious leaders, government officials, leading to doubt and distrust of world leadership in providing the answers that we're all seeking, all right, and the necessary solutions we're all looking for during this unprecedented period of global crisis. Now, the Mayans say that very clearly. In fact, I just want to read exactly what they said. They said, for half of the K-tun, there will be flood. For half, some misfortune. This K-tun will bring the end of the Word of God. It will be a time of uniting for a cause.
How long is the K-tun?
K-tun period... They break up the long cycle. So the K-tun period here will go from December 21st, 2012, and it will end sometime around late 2030. Right. So we have a period of almost 10, 20 years.
But it's a stripping away of the old systems, the old forms, so something new can emerge.
Absolutely. In fact, so what this sounds, what Graf was talking about is the psycho-spiritual death-rebirth process, which is a natural process of psyche. And this can occur at any time in the course of any deep spiritual exploration through holotropic experiences, all right? We saw that in the 60s when people were doing experimentation with LSD, psilocybin, and various other holotropic-inducing drugs. Also, we could see this occur during spiritual emergencies and personal crises. We often call this the midlife crisis, but they're really transformational crises. Today, however, we take SSRIs to suppress these natural processes.
You take what?
SSRIs, antidepressants. So what is the psychospiritual death rebirth? Well, on a personal level, it's essentially an ego death or a dying before dying, all right? Many people who go through these processes start coming to the Meta Center, or they start going to they start approaching Alan, and they start asking very profound questions about the meaning of life. Often because many of the things that sort of drove them every day, the emotional juice that got them through the day is no longer there. It's no longer sustainable, all right, or tenable for them to maintain the type of beliefs and values that they have. Or up to this point in their life. So basically it's a symbolic confrontation with death in the initial crisis, the sense that something in me is dying, something in me is not right. Often many people encounter a depression, all right? And it's this sense of that something is dying is very important in the process of shamanistic tradition. And this often results in the annihilation of the false ego, what Jung would call the persona. Now, I'll get to how this works with the Mayans in a second. But one experiences eventually a rebirth through the spiritual transfiguration and develops a new set of empowering beliefs and values that enables them to develop an authentic and compelling vision and life strategy. And this process also occurs within the collective psyche of mankind. This is not just exclusive to the personal development. What we found is, with Carl Jung, in his work, he found that the microcosm of the personal psyche and the macrocosm of the collective developments of humanity and civilization very closely correlate. And what I believe the Mayans were talking about was very much about this psycho-spiritual depth rebirth transformation that correlates with their particular cosmology. Now, what I found was I took that even further and saw how it worked within the particular cycles of the rise and fall of civilizations using the Barbour Planetary Cyclic Index, which was developed in the mid-40s.
What is that?
It's an index of taking the planets. When all the planets come together, it's often a period of stress, economic breakdown, war, recession, depression. It's a period where people often go and become much more conservative. When all the planets move apart or in opposition, it's a period of Renaissance, enlightenment, it's a period of construction, growth, development, prolific periods of creativity, sort of what we saw in the 60s.
Where are we now?
Right now, we're at a particular point where we're seeing a convergence of the planetary cyclic index taking a free downfall. Almost within that point is almost within several months of the Mayan calendar. And so what many astrologers have been talking about is a cardinal crisis that actually occurred in 2010, which sort of set off the beginning of the downfall of the cyclic index. What that means is that this civilization is going through a gigantic paradigm shift. The last time we saw the Barbour Index going back in time make such a precipitous freefall was between 387 and 410 AD.
The birth
of Christianity, but it was the sudden collapse of the Western Roman Empire and the beginning of the Dark Ages that followed 400 years. See, so we could look back in history, we had a psycho-spiritual death, transfiguration, and rebirth where the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Catholic Church, which then became the center of all commerce, education, culture for the preceding 1,000 years, more or less.
But are we going to go through that same kind of...
We're going to go through that, but it's now going to happen at a much more... Well, obviously now a much... on a collective scale, we're transitioning, and if you talk to many people in physics and today, we're transitioning from what we would call a type 0 civilization, where we use fossil fuel to maintain the power of our civilization, to a type 1 civilization. Type 1 civilizations have enough energy to control the weather, to build cities on the sea, to have basically unlimited enough power. It's the equivalent of the amount of power that the Earth generates yearly. Every civilization goes through type 0, 1, 2, 3, and we can now project when we will arrive to type 1 civilization, which if you use the conservative estimates, it's 2,160. But, as you know, these things, the rate of growth that's occurring right now is not linear, but exponential. And many people... Now, looking at this, believe we are moving closer to a type 1 civilization. We'll be much sooner to a type 1 civilization. I'll give you an example. For with a type 1 civilization, things like food, water,
energy
are limitless. We can desalinate the entire ocean and fertilize the entire and irrigate the entire Sahara Desert, things like this.
I just want to
conclude. So we're moving to this type of civilization. And what we're seeing now is the symptoms of the death and transfiguration. And later, at some point, we'll move to the rebirth, which I'll talk more about later. But that's essentially where I think we're moving towards.
No, I think you made some great points there, especially the fact that a lot of people who are depressed, who take antidepressants, it's really a symptom of the time. I mean, their own individual crisis is an aspect of a general cycle.
Right. So many people right now are going through major crises in their personal lives. Whatever is unsustainable in your life right now and untenable, mm-hmm. meaning it's not good for you, even though it was good for you, it's not going to last. Mm-hmm. Number two, that also applies to countries, corporations, not-for-profit organizations, for-profit organizations, every entity that has its own life force to it. That is undergoing a transformation. So we're all going through these type of mini and macro psycho-spiritual death rebirths at the same time.
And opportunity is knocking at your door if you can open the door to hear it. I mean, I know that, you know, it's getting out of this old stuck place and saying, oh, yeah, there is something new coming, and I just have to meet it.
Right.
And that's an exciting time.
Right.
It's the end of one cycle, but the beginning of something else. And the other thing you said is this idea of moving into a type 1 civilization. It also has to do with our orientation in relationship to the rest of the universe, in relationship to the galaxy at least, because what I think the Mayans did for the mass consciousness, it shows us that we weren't just a solar family, that we had a direct relationship to the galaxy.
Correct.
And that just opens up the neighborhood to more beings, to more possibilities, the way Copernicus said, we weren't the center of the universe. The Earth is not the center of the universe. Well, when we reorientated ourselves as a civilization in time and space that way, the whole period of exploration began, the Renaissance began. So this reorientation, I feel, to a galactic awareness will open up new ideas, new creativity, new thought.
Right. I'll just finish off saying that the Uranus-Pluto cycle, the cardinal crisis that started in 2010 and will continue throughout until 2016, directly deals with three things: the ecology, the economy, and ET.
And ET.
ET. In terms of science coming to the recognition that life and most probable intelligent life exists across the galaxy, and the first intimations of disclosure will begin.
Yes. For my people. Thank you for that. No, I'm a pro ET person, but it is. No, I mean, that's my little private study, ET. So we're going to talk. What's that? Oh, it's not so private. I kept it to myself. Anyway. No, why don't we have everyone talk and then we'll get back and then maybe we can do some crossplay, because I want David Katzmeier, who invented his own science of rhythms, to see where you kind of confirm what he says, where you agree, where you disagree with what William says, and how you came about this. So go through your three cycles of calorhythms and what you see coming and how what you think of what William says. You don't have to agree unless you do.
I didn't find anything I didn't agree with, William. William, the way you put those pieces of the puzzle together, all I can say is wow. Don, you already have an invitation from me to be a guest on a future program. And William, I am certainly going to implore your presence on another show. You really put it together well. There's a lot with what you said. I agree with my work. I'm David Katzmeier, ladies and gentlemen. I began the study of cycles because of a moment of inspiration where I found that the pattern of everything is in everything. How unoriginal, but how wonderful it is to find out that a theory that you thought of all by yourself ain't original at all. That's confirmation. That's corroboration. What is here, what is elsewhere, you know, the macrocosmos, the microcosmos, the Sufi said. And when I discovered that back in the 70s, we remember the 70s, don't we? Yes. In a very lucid moment in the 1970s, I was applying it to a very popular study back then called biorhythms. Anybody here familiar with biorhythms? Everybody's familiar with biorhythms, the physical, emotional, and intellectual cycles that start from the day that you're born. And as you go through life, they go through highs and lows, physically, emotionally, and intellectually, in a myriad of patterns, because each cycle in you is a different length. We're born with a 23-day physical cycle, a 28-day emotional cycle, and a 33-day intellectual cycle. And they begin in the middle, on the day that you're born, and they start going up and down through the patterns. And on any day, they could be in three different positions, or you could have a couple of them high, or you could have them all low. And there's crossover points in biorhythms, periodic times that you're going to have a day of crisis. And that's interesting because
the
we're
crossover is where it goes from the high and the low, crosses the horizon.
Thank you, Alan. When is the crossover? That's a very common question. Does it happen at the peak? Does it happen at the bottom? It's in the middle. It's at the horizon of the amplitude.
To go back is where we were, the Mayan said, as the sun was below the galactic horizon, we're at the place even with the galactic horizon, which is what you would call a crossover point. That's what 2012 was, where we came into evenness with the galactic plane, because the galaxy is flat.
Right, correct.
Okay, exactly, because it's like a disc. And William, I'm so glad that you were connecting the dots that Jung pointed out, that what you find in a person, the patterns inside of a person, their psyche, whatever, is fractaled out into a civilization. But the patterns that you see in a person played out in a much greater period of time when you're looking at a society, a nation, or the world community, because larger institutions are slower to change. So we are the microcosm of the civilizations we create. So if you understand yourself, you can understand the cycles of time, the changes of history over greater periods of time. It's all cycles within cycles within cycles. Then what is true on the non-manifest level, on the abstract level of influence, is also manifest in the physical level. So here we're finding galactic patterns when you can have crossovers in galactic periods of time, such as the end of the Mayan calendar, which this is a long count, they call that. It's a period of lasting 5,125 years plus a few days. And that ended on December 21st, 2012, and it's also in the beginning of a new one. C.S. Lewis said that in the end is my beginning. And William, I'm so glad you brought out that the end of the Mayan calendar is the beginning of a new count, and that's what we're going into now. And this does mean a new time of consciousness. The Mayans themselves did not say what was going to happen at the end of the calendar, but with their replete study of cycles, and it is a fractal calendar, by the way, it's not, you know, a coincidence that you have so many other studies out there now that are saying that this is a time of change. 1993 was the year of the indigenous peoples. I was here in New York and heard the Hopi elders converge at NYU, and they spoke. And they said that this is when we're going in from what they call the fourth world into the fifth world.
Correct.
Yeah.
The Mayan fifth world of the sun.
The Mayan fifth world of the sun.
That's what the next spot tune is about.
This fifth, which began December 21st, 2012.
We're in the new time.
At 11:05 a.m. when it crossed the galactic plane, uh-huh, at the beginning of the Mayan fifth world of the sun.
I also want to say what Jose Aguayo said, who really, Jose Aguayo was the person that began the whole study of the Mayan calendar, popularized it in 1987. We had the holiday, the harmonic convergence, which was the end of a 9-year, 52-year cycle that began with Cortez in 1519. And he said there would be a cycle of nine hells that were 52 years each at long. And then in 87, it'd be 25 years that would be the whole recycle of history. So we get to December 21st, 2012, where we go off into a new direction. So that's where we're at now. And Jose Aguayo was really the person who popularized it. And he said this would be the end of the myth of progress, whatever that is. We don't need technological progress. We need the internal evolution. So
exactly, because, you know, we're gaining the world and losing our souls in the process, and we're going to hell in air-conditioned homes and Cadillacs. So that is, you know, but we're enjoying the ride somewhat. But you don't want to get lost in the process. The 52-year calendar duration that you're talking about, the calendar round, is how I got into studying Mayanism. Because when I was looking at the biorhythms of the United States, which are the physical, emotional, and intellectual cycles of a country, I was looking at the durations of them. Mm-hmm. And I found that there's a 28-year physical cycle, plus and lows of industry, military, disco dancing or low. And there's a 36-year cycle, emotional highs and lows of weather. You go back to the end of the 19th century, it was the gay 90s. The turn of the 20th century was a low reformist time. Then you had the roaring 20s. You went down into the Great Depression. Then you had the 50s and the 60s. And you went down to Generation X. And then you came up in the new spirituality movement. And all after the turn of the century, we had this burgeoning of consciousness and awareness. And that is a cycle going on in our country.
Where are we now?
Well, where we are now in the 20th cycle, the cycle, and the intellectual cycle in the United States is like this. The physical cycle has been high, and it's still in its high until about 2 months now. And then we're going to go through one of the things Wayne was talking about, a crisis. We're going to have a downward crossover of the physical cycle. It's going to give us a brief shakeup, a one-year period. And we're going to have a bad day. A day for a country is 1 year. So I'm predicting an industrial recession between March of this year to March of 2014. And then we're going to start cutting back production, you know, for 14 years.
But doesn't that open it for other?
Well, it's also a time of reform, because when you end a high and you go into the low period, then you start going into a reformist era. A third quarter is when you look back on when it was high, and you start to correct any of the ills that you had. And you also cherish the good things. There's a time for looking forward and a time for looking back. We're looking forward now, but we're going to look back. Question.
Industrial reform. Talk more about what you mean by that.
Okay.
Well, one of the things that we're going through right now is this Uranus square, right? It's successive squares starting 2010, 2015. Last time it happened was in the 60s, right? And we saw the electronic revolution and such. But the first industrial revolution, which occurred in 1757, first industrial revolution, 1757, right, in Great Britain, Uranus-Pluto was in a square position. Then the second industrial revolution, 1850, was the Uranus-Pluto conjunction. Then Uranus-Pluto opposed in 1900. That was the industrial revolution in the United States, where we surpassed England. Now we're on the verge of a third industrial revolution, all right? And so what we're going to see is the emergence of new technologies, nanotechnology, AI, robotics, on a scale and level that's unprecedented. And anything we've seen up to date is really just a foreshadowing of what's yet to come in months, not years, in months.
I'm not getting rid of my iPhone, okay? Not yet.
This is just the beginning, folks. All right? And so one of the things I see that what correlates during with these periods is periodic severe recessions and depressions, currency wars, all right, and we see devaluations of currency dilution, because often historically central banks inject more currency into the system because the economies are slowing down. But eventually what we see is currency wars that eventually lead to currency collapses. So this all often coincides as some new industrial technology is emerging, and also the issues with scientific breakthroughs in artificial intelligence is the next phase. You know, we had the microprocessor revolution, now we had the internet revolution, we had the PC revolution, now we're going to have the AI revolution.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I totally agree.
Oh, Jody has a question.
And before I get to you, Jody, I just want to say, follow up on what you're saying here, William, what's considered industrial is going to change. It's not going to be as physically based. It's not going to be the machine age. It's going to be the nano. It's going to be
the 3D printing.
Oh, the 3D printers. The replicators. You can replicate things now. If you want a great big wrench, you just put a wrench in the box. You have a scanner scan it, and it prints a wrench
one day
that works.
What do you mean it prints?
And you can open it and use it.
Yep.
And
yep.
You can make a bicycle.
You could download, eventually within 10 years, you'll
scan
be able to buy your phone and print it out from your 3D printer. You'll just download, you'll pay for it on PayPal or whatever it is in the future for the phone, the specific phone. They'll send the specific digital instruction content, and your 3D printer will print the phone out for you. And it'll work. Yes.
For real. I'm going to get to Jody and then to you.
They're
doing a whole house in Europe. Wow. How does the printer actually make the metal and the glass?
Layers of special polymers that are...
You bind it.
Really?
Yeah, just like printer cartridges.
And resins. And they harden.
They harden immediately.
Okay. Wait. Go, David.
Jody.
Jody,
question. Yes. Yes.
We're talking about this part,
which
is about the physical cycle.
Yes.
So how would that affect us personally in terms of our physical
life? Okay.
Repeat the question.
Yeah. Okay. We're looking at the fractal relationship between a person and a nation, or even the person in the entire world. What do we mean by physical when we're talking about a person? We were just trying to define a little bit here what is physical in a nation, and we were describing it as being how much we produce in industry, durable goods, whether we're doing energetic dancing, or whether we're getting overweight. Even the consumption of red meat rises and falls with the 28-year physical cycle and so forth. The amount of military expansion expands and contracts all the way back to the 18th century in the United States, consistent with the 28-year cycle, because we fight more when we're physically active, and we're more pacifistic in a physical low. But Jody, am I understanding your question? What do we mean when we say physical for a person? Is that the question?
You were saying in terms of the cycle, there's the outer understanding and then the microcosm to the macrocosm.
Yes.
That would have to relate to what we do within ourselves that affects the greater whole.
Yes.
So in this particular, when you're speaking of this particular cycle, you're talking about the gadgets and the things and whatever you have products. But how would that affect us in this cycle physically in our own being?
Yeah, so we're not looking at the anecdotal evidence of our history of a nation and looking at the statistics of economics and production and output and wars and how many battleships we have. We're looking at ourselves, a person. How do we measure ourselves as being on a physical high or
what
a physical low?
You
mean
a body?
For a body, a person's body,
oh,
right?
A person's
body.
Yes. Exactly. Biorhythms are being used by sports trainers, and they say that if you're doing running or physical activity, or if you're doing boxing or weight and anything like that, a lot of trainers are going with the 23-day physical cycle to train the people that they train so that when the physical cycle is high, they would gain new ground, maybe run that little extra half a mile or do a little bit more. But when the physical cycle is low, the way the trainers work it is, don't try to gain new ground because your body's not conducive to it. It has to go inward a little bit, kind of catch up and build whatever to sustain what you've developed. So they say just maintain your levels. Don't try to go for new ground then. It's very easy because what you do is since they're consistent, they're periodic, 23-day, 28-day, and 33-day for physical, emotional, intellectual, respective. You look at what day you were born, and you calculate how many days you've been alive. And that's where you know where you are in each one of the cycles.
Okay, but let's continue with your cycles, because I know you have more cycles to get to.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up right quick. And you can do it on my site, Kalarhythms, kalarhythms.org. Just click on biorhythms. There's a biorhythm calculator. Just put in the date you were born, and it brings up your biorhythms on the chart.
Is there a space of time after that 23 days that you wait?
No.
It's
consistent.
It's like that, up and down.
Yeah, you can look at them as sinusoidal waves of up and down, consistent.
Go into the emotional, mental, and spiritual cycles because and how it relates to the future.
Okay. Now, we were talking about the United States. You asked where we were in the physical. Still high, about to cross over down. The emotional cycle was high until 2009, and we had a downward crossover there, and that's what sort of all the irate town halls that gave birth to the Tea Party in 2009, because this was a grassroots movement from different town halls. And I'm not talking about politics or advocating anything. I'm just saying that was a time of national ire. Interesting to see. And I can give you examples. Every time it crosses over 18 years, you know, last 18 years ago was the Rodney King beating. 18 years before that, Rosa Parks was refused a seat on the bus. And if certain things will trigger when you're agitated, then there's going to be reaction.
18 years is what astrological stuff? Was that like a Saturn thing?
The 28-year cycle he was referring to with the military expansion and contraction is a Saturn cycle. The 18-year cycle doesn't come unless it's a two-planetary cycle.
No, okay, no. Planets, fractals, people, nations. Oh, that's a wonderful word in 1970 by mathematician Bruno Mandelbrot. And I had looked and asked people, what do you call a thing that's inside a big thing that's just like it? And you have a lot of little things that make one big thing. Finally, I got a noun. It's a fractal.
You know what it is, Lynn.
And
I do know what it is, but I'm not understanding it in context here.
Okay. We are like the monads. Leibniz coined the term monads. Miniature universes inside of the entire universe. Blake spoke of seeing the entire universe in a single grain of sand. It's just basically, you know, if you drew a triangle and you kept drawing triangles until they shaped a big triangle, that's fractal.
The micro is reflecting the macro.
Okay. Yes.
It makes it up then. So finish those other sides, the emotional cycle of the country and the...
I'm going to do the planetary fractal here with the 18-year period because you're right. The physical cycle of 28 years coincides with the Saturn cycle. Now, the 36-year emotional cycle is crossed down and is going down now. And later this year, the physical cycle will cross down low. But the intellectual cycle in the United States is still high until 2017. So this is going to become a very intellectual time. People are going to remain detail-oriented, and they're going to be interested. But we're also starting to look back because the physical cycle will cross down low. The emotional cycle is low. And as soon as it goes low, you start looking back, and you do what I did. You get a ticket to go see Lincoln. Great movie, by the way. Don't miss it.
So and how does this all look for the future? I mean, it's great to look
I haven't. Well, okay. One of the things that we're talking about here, where you know people will be very detailed oriented, they're going to be looking back, you know, going to be much more reflective. One of the things in the last in the tune of the Mayan prophecy from 2012 to 2030, the last statement is in the prophecy states, this is a time for uniting for a cause. And the Mayan elders say this will be a period of suppression of dissenting voices in all areas of life by governments, creating civil unrest that will lead to violent forms of group defiance and rebellion. That form of group defiance and rebellion is very appropriate for Uranus-Pluto alignments. We had the civil unrest, the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement. We had the anti-war protest movements during the last Uranus-Pluto. We also had the Cultural Revolution and the hippie movement and the youth defiance, all right? So we're going to see that emerge again. Nations, according to them, will suppress other nations. Groups will suppress other groups, and the use of violence force will increase. Therefore, we are likely to see a reemergence of large-scale organized protest movements around the world. Instead of Occupy Wall Street, we're going to see a transformation into Occupy All Street, with the primary driving issue being social and economic inequality, corporate greed, and the unwarranted influence of banks and the financial sector on government.
Okay. Should we get to Don? Because Don has a... Oh, do you have something?
Good.
No, Don, I want to hear from you because you...
I do, too.
You've been studying this for a while.
Well, I have. Right now I'm interested more in this beginning of this new cycle or beginning of new cycles because we're starting so many cycles from the get-go all at one time, aren't we? We have the Aquarian 2,160-year cycle. We have the 5,125 with the Bakhtin. Yeah. Coming up, we have the 25,920-year cycle of the Platonic year. we have all of these cycles that are beginning right now. And so Rudyard said, I know you know Rudyard, he said, we are the seed men. What he really meant by that, well, here we are, we're at the very beginning, and things, the seeds are being planted right now in all of these cycles simultaneously. So this is an exciting thing to begin at the beginning of these cycles. How we're doing it? Well, I think that my feeling is that the problem with humanity, it still is the reptilian mind and the nature of territory and fear of death. So these things are all like causing humanity to behave badly, I think, or dysfunctional. And right now, so we're looking at how do we rectify this particular thing. Well, their genetics is working on it, of course, in order to find a way to deactivate the hostile gene and activate the altruistic gene. But actually, this is what we do as sound healers. In 2025, that is the inauguration day of the functional fourth ray of the seven rays of our system.
How do you know that?
It's been just prophesied that it won't come into full. Right now, we have Serapis Bay, I think, overlooking the fourth ray,
right.
But at that time, it'll really become active, and actually it's become active now, hasn't it? Because all of the sound healers everywhere are arising, you see. It's not like the arising of the robots, but it's the arising of those people who know how to make peace and to synthesize diversity into functional harmony again. So this whole process, and it's taking place on all levels, personal lives, when you have a gong at home and you use the gong for personal healing, but also in the great gatherings now. I think this year they came out with this huge peace gong from Java, I think it comes from, with all the countries of the world on the gong. So is the era of the gong coming up now? I don't know how many years. You can say 2160, you can say, well, whatever you want to say about it, but we know that right now it's the gathering together, becoming a oneness in the world today. And as silly as it seems right now with all of this going on, it's the last throes of the barbarianism of the Piscean Age and the ages before that, actually. So we are now entering into that field of oneness, which is represented by the gong, that when you play the gong, it takes away your violent tendencies. It opens you up like a new child. It's a symbol like the conch of, now we're in an age of purification, and where we're planting the seeds that is going to reprogram that DNA in humanity to start us on the right track of being just one in this world, on a planet going through the heavens. So that, I think, is happening right now. How long it's going to take to happen, there's no way to tell that. But if you see that exponentially, the gong babies are sprouting up all over the world now.
What does that mean, the gong babies?
The people who have taken on the gong and have sort of a gong consciousness and use that power of sound to create holistic resonance in the world today. So these cycles are going on. These, I think, are we're so lucky to be here, be part of these.
Can you talk
cycles.
A little bit about the age of metal? Because the development and the excavation of metal was a huge acceleration for our human civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we still rely on it for our computer parts, but there was a igniting of human and earth creativity in manufacturing metallurgy and excavating it from the ground and kind of advanced us in ways that were beyond just the primitive ape. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the history of metallurgy, it's just after the Ice Age retreated, I think, finally 8,000 BC, although it did start retreating earlier than that. the cave people who used to play their gods made out of stone, out of stalactites and stalagmites in caves during the entire Ice Age, which I think it lasted about four Platonic periods, the last Ice Age, 25,000 years each. So it was a long time when we were in the deep freeze. So when that event happened that caused the waters to rise and the glaciers to melt and all of that, when we moved out of that into, it's like coming out of the closet with humanity, coming out of the caves, and all of a sudden you see humanity there, and they became farmers. So no more hunter-gatherers, we're all farmers. And we grew wheat, and the wheat created ovens, and the ovens got bigger and bigger as an industrial spirit goddess, and the metals began to melt out of the stones on the floor of these ovens. And that was the beginning of what we call the Bronze Age. However, the Indians, the Vedas, consider descended Dwapara Yuga, which is also a greater age at that time, and it just simply coincided with our finding of bronze together as a humanity. Then we entered into, of course, the Iron Age, or what some people who talk about cycles are discussing a shorter cycle and some another longer one. But the Iron Age was the age of darkness around 500 BC, for sure, maybe all the way up close to 1700 BC when the new age of enlightenment began. But this age is now over with. And we have to feel it, and everybody, I think, is feeling us entering into this. It's too obviously, when you get all these four cycles starting together at once, it's like opening the barn doors. So I like this idea of cycles very much.
Okay, go ahead.
It just reminds me of, you know, David Wolkoff, right?
Yeah,
he talks about, like, the series of books, cycles of one, and he talks that we're in the Harvest Age and the Golden Age. I don't know if anyone knows any of that information, or if you want to talk about it, because it sounds very similar to what you're speaking about. Do you agree? Or?
Yeah, I mean,
different system and how he breaks that up. We can do it with astrology. We do it, you know, we know when the Bronze Age started 5,000 years ago. I don't have the date in front of me, but we know there was a certain set of alignments, and then from there we can just stretch them out with a computer on a graph and then see where there's correlations. I think the issue now is we're moving more into a virtual world. And that's really going to be the revolution aspect of it all. Also, if you look at it on a personal level, you know, the psycho-spiritual death rebirth process, you know, is a direct channel to the transcendental dimension. And the transcendental dimension of experience is something virtual. So now that we understand what virtual reality means, it gives us a more direct connection to transcendental consciousness. And why is that important? Well, that's important because what we're realizing, what we have realized, that the archetypal realm both informs and shapes history, events, and the primary motivations of the masses on a collective level. So what we're seeing is an initiation and a journey into the discovery of our own, the discovery of the meaning of our identity as a race and individually. So I believe what we saw in the 60s were a lot of this self-discovery exploration using all different methods and means. You know, that's where shamanism became like, you know, center stage. Now, I was a kid. I was born with it. But I didn't get to live it, unfortunately. You know, I like to have met all these people. But what we're going to see is occur now in a different way. And I believe that process here of the emergence where the virtual
becomes more of a, and I'm not just talking about virtual reality, something you put on your head. I'm talking where the self-exploration of the transcendental dimension of reality, of existence in the archetypal realms. Because it's during the transformational process we often experience emotional and psychodynamic healing. It's in the transcendental that we experience healing and enlightenment, all right? And it directs our path towards individuation.
You know what I was going to say about the ego death now in this time is more the individual that is kind of dying to the collective awareness.
Correct.
That we're not just the individual that...
Right.
And so it's not just the personal ego death. It's like we're part of something bigger. And that
right.
becomes a realization,
right.
I think, in the this golden age.
Right. In fact, that Jung talks about the transcendent function where the ego, where the persona, whatever is false beliefs and values, begins to break down, emerges, and then it moves towards a self-discovery process and transcends to identifying its true source, its true identity, all right, and merges with something greater. That would be the transcendent function, which is occurring now.
Can you give you a very specific example, so that you can ask the question? I was very, very, very young in here, and there was one year where there was a flower. It was a flower when nothing, I mean, it was a march through Market Street where there was 100,000 people,
mm-hmm.
not one incident. And I'm claustrophobic. There wasn't one incident.
Was that 1967?
Maybe.
Yeah, somewhere.
The late 60s. I was really, really young.
Yeah.
And then it turned.
Right.
And I almost remember the day it happened,
mm-hmm.
when cars were flooding into my apartment where I was, Cole and Haight Street living,
mm-hmm.
and they're all looking at us. You know? And then the drugs came in.
Mm-hmm.
And the children, even younger children, were flooding into the area,
yeah.
getting on heroin and
right.
cocaine. No place to live, strung out of their mind.
Right.
So there was one year. So what I'm asking is now, what you're talking about is very theoretical. How would you break it down? Because I'm looking at it from then. How do I break down what you're talking about? What's the downside? What's the downside of what's going on, and how long can this, do you expect this curve to last?
Well, I believe this curve is just starting.
Right.
I believe, like, if you wanted to use an equivalent, this is 1962. Or 63, for all intents and purposes. This is before Leary comes out and starts pontificating the use of LSD. 10 years
that we're going to be talking about?
Well, I would say between now and 2020. And the intensity and acceleration of events and changes, both personally and collectively, are occurring. I know most of you are in crisis. Why? Because I have clients all over the world at various problems. They are confronted with issues. There are no real, they're intractable problems with no solution. In fact, something needs to emerge in order for a solution to be presented. And that's exactly what this psycho-spiritual death rebirth is really about.
Would you agree with that, David?
I agree on many levels because, you know, you're asking, what about it's 1 year of this and then all of a sudden it changes? What period of time are we talking about of the things that we're going to see that William is pointing out? Well, we've got to remember, fractal again, we have our fast-moving rhythms within each of us. The nations have rhythms that last tens of years between, you know, to go high and low. And the world has a set of cycles that takes centuries to complete. And you can go on through the yugas, the Platonic year, 25,920 years, and you can go into what yuga are we in, the Kali Yuga, you know. But,
I think Don also sees us moving to a positive golden age, you know, fourth
rate. It's a very interesting thing because it's a controversy going on about the yugas. The idea is that after we go into the Satya Yuga, all of a sudden you go back in the Kali Yuga like a drop-off, flip, you know, all of a sudden it's the end. But that isn't how Sri Yukteswarji used his yugas. He said, no, it has this naturally rising and falling. It isn't like you complete the cycle and then...
micro-yugas,
and you can keep breaking it down, and mathematically it breaks down to the frequency of A, the third high point. And we use this 432 as the real A in the world today. And
cycles?
Yeah, for hertz or cycles per second.
A.
Yeah. And so the yugas are simply using the 432 throughout time to break periods of time.
Wow.
So
we're moving into something new now?
So and the idea is that now it's always a new A. It's always a new time for enlightenment through the third eye. This A is very important to us. So I see us as being perhaps as a world more enlightened. The new enlightened era is not necessarily the new golden era, because that would mean the Kali Yuga would flip over into the golden era, and you know, I would rather think that we're on like Teswarji's ascending to Dwapara Yuga, the new age that's leading to the silver age and then the gold age at some point. But his cycles were much different, weren't they? Where we're talking 432,000 or 4,320,000 years, he's talking about just 12,000 years or 1,200 years, micro fractal. And then it's the 12,000 year fractal, and then the 120,000 years. So, in other words, we go through these long expanses of time in a very small amount of time, really. We have our own Kali, Tetra, Silver, Yuga, everything at once, huh?
How do we go through that so fast in such a micro?
Well, I think that it's a mathematical formula that you can be very small or it can be very large. It could be a 27-year cycle, 54, 108, 216, 432, but they're all very much from going from a small cycle to a large one, using the same numbers.
Joni, you have a question?
I'm sure it was. Yeah,
I don't know if I understand it exactly, but it's a particular frequency that the instrument is tuned to because it awakens us in terms of our alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that's what you're referring to when you say the A, and also in relation to the structures and the cycles. Can you talk a little bit about how music, you started to before, how music and maybe
frequencies are very, very important. But more important, I think, is holistic resonance, which is the fullness. It's called the music of wholeness. If you create music that has fullness and wholeness in it, it brings out the wholeness and fullness of the cells in the DNA. Whereas the other music, the frequencies, it works a different way, almost like a beam of energy. So we work with both. And both. One is the ascending harmonic series, and the other one is the summation series in music, which is called space-filling music. We work with space-filling music, but also in sound healing, we work with the natural harmonics as well. Natural harmonics is when a tone that is uttered, it finally decays and disappears into friction and out of the picture. Whereas the other tone, produced by gongs and bowls and things like that, or by groups, humanity acting as a gong, fills space everywhere. So it's the space-filling music that I think is going to be the most important.
You're also saying that you would think that's sort of eternal and forever unchanging, but you're sort of saying it's actually changing. Those harmonic resonant cycles are evolving as well with this A,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, it is. I wouldn't put too much emphasis just on the A. Numerologically, it's very interesting, but it's really kind of could be any note. It could be any note as long as the note is living, it's full, and you can get inside of it, that note, and let it be your, what you would call your swan body or your Merkaba, and to get inside of a living tone, this is the idea.
That's evolving of consciousness involved.
Yeah. And it's a stopping of time. Stop the cycles. You know, stop the world, I want to get off. Remember that? Too. It sort of like stops the world right there. And it's in that gap, you see, that of timelessness where there aren't any cycles, that, as he said, it's a point of healing. It's a time. So, and in that gap of time, it lets the consciousness of your body to reconsider itself so that it can begin to self-heal.
Well, I'm having explosions here. You're removing darkness from some of the things I ponder. Does anybody know the Sanskrit word for remover of darkness? Darkness is guru. And in Sanskrit,
and you'll rule the day.
Are you? So.
What was the revelation that happened?
You were asking about some musicians are tuning in. I don't know if they were talking about hertz. If you take 440 hertz, it's the note A. And a microtone, which is used in Eastern music, not in Western, and you take an increment down of that to 432 hertz, it's still A because it's so close to A. That's interesting. But when you were talking about the number 432 being replete, Joseph Campbell talks about this and the 432 million years of the age of Brahman. He opens his eyes and the world is created. And he blinks and it's ending. I didn't know all of that when I was looking at the world cycles. We were getting into the details of cycles in the world. The physical cycle is 336 years long.
The world itself. The
world.
The earth.
The emotional cycle is 432 years long. And I discovered that independently. The joy of unoriginal thought. Because I didn't know anything about 432 when I discovered that the heartbeat of world civilization was 432 years long. That divides evenly into the precession of the equinoxes and so forth, and 36-year cycles and the 18-year cycles, which are in the moon. I'm not going to go into that, but this is too interesting. And the intellectual cycle is 528 years long. So what I'm talking about is the biorhythms of the world. But Don, you were talking about what you do with your music and your study of sound and the effect it has on our being, if I'm wording that at all well. And you say that there is a point where the cycles stop and the healing takes place in that point. It's very interesting. When you look at Sanskrit again, the word for time is kala. Now, kala is relative time that we live in. Einstein certainly talked about that, and all the cycles within it. That's defined in Sanskrit. Beyond that is transcendent time, Mahakala, which is one of the 108 names of Shiva. So Kala rhythms is the study of time, but if you transcend your relative experience, you go beyond that, then you go into transcendent time, where there are no rhythms. It is like a river without current. We have cycles because we intersect with that river, and that makes these cycles and in everything that we know.
The Navy for the Air Force. He had come up with a chart where he had measured incredible solar activity and the amount of people who would die on the Earth, such as the Black Death, that was in a particular solar cycle, the Genghis Khan was a solar cycle. World War II was.
So it wasn't disease; it would be human created.
And he's translating all of this to basically a solar cycle. And when you look at astrology, because this is very interesting to me, when you look at astrology, you're looking at these little tiny planets with little tiny movements. And, you know, you take the sun, and we have, it's pretty big. It's bigger than all the planets, And then you take our sun, and then you look at some of the other huge suns out there. What are we in relation to solar cycles going through? This is a question I have.
I'm not an expert on solar cycles.
Okay.
They did predict a solar maximum around this time. It hasn't actually taken off, but there are these X flares that seem to be.
Yeah, but that's just something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
The sun has a consciousness. I find it in my work when there is something so hideous that's sitting beyond the planet, you know, and I'm an exorcist, right? The sun. I send it to my brothers in the sun. And, you know, I've heard him say, no, on the way out.
Burning in the furnace?
Absolutely. You know, and the thing is that when I started looking at this conversion, you know, this convergence years ago, and I was looking at what comes out of Galactic Central, you might say, and where does it go? And I saw that the information comes to the sun. And then it comes from the sun. It's rebroadcast. It's kind of like it's sent there, and then it comes out. It has to change frequencies to get to us. Okay. I said, well, why are we getting bad information? Next thing I saw was five huge monster spirits. One of them is in the Atlantic. It goes from the tip of Iceland down to, you know, south of Florida. It lives on the Mid-Atlantic Rift, and it's crazy from that. So, and what it is doing is kind of twisting the message so that the man stays confused and stays disconnected. And there's five of them on this planet. And, you know, and when you go back to some of the other positions, you know, you kind of figure this out.
I wanted to go back to music because that was very interesting. You know, the Uranus-Pluto stuff I was talking about earlier. I'm a classical musician. I'm an active classical musician. I got a degree in music. It's my first degree. And so I know a little bit about music history. And when back to these alignments, these planetary alignments, the Uranus-Pluto opposition that occurred around 1792 was the time, the height of Mozart and beginning of Beethoven. Then the following waxing square that occurred in 1820 to 1821 was the time that Beethoven comes out with his third symphony, the Eroica. And then he's a mature musical force. Then 1850 to 1851, you have Verdi's Rigoletto, you have Wagner's Ring Cycle, Das Rheingold, all right, which were tour de force changing events. Then you had the 1900 Uranus-Pluto conjunction. Jelly Roll Morton begins writing ragtime, which is the progenitor to jazz. Then you have the 1932 square, and then you have the emergence of jazz, but this is the time of Benny Goodman in the 30s, which is swing. Then, which sets the basis for rock and roll, which actually emerges in full force as a world music, right? The beginning of world music occurs in the 60s with the emergence of the Beatles, all right? When they became effective 1962. When you look at them, they were one. Sort of established world music. Then, now we have the Uranus-Pluto in effect now, so 2010. I haven't heard the next John Lennon, Paul McCartney. I'm still waiting. I don't think Lady Gaga's going to pull it off. But we're going to see the next development of music based on the previous, on the roots of rock and roll, on the roots of
swing, jazz, ragtime based on classical forms. We're going to see that all emerge, and a whole new scalar system of music, instruments. You know, it's, again, the emergence of technology. You're going to see renovations in the way music is presented, even in the classical world. So that's going to get quite exciting.
It's the time of the gong, isn't it?
I think that's part of the new wrinkle in the music is going to be that. I just did a recording with the Johnny Reinhardt, you know what I mean? The primal orchestra. They wanted to bring the primal instrument of the gong with, of course, the electronic music, which is a prediction that there's going to be a snake swallowing its tail here. We're going to have the primal and the omega together. So we're always working. Most of the gong players now are sort of like leaning a little bit towards electronic music, finding a way to merge these two together to keep in the time. So I think that the music is going to be fantastic because the fourth ray sound healer, you know, that's the middle of the rainbow. Some people consider it to be the white part, but it's really the green part of the rainbow, the belly of the rainbow. So it really stands for the fullness of resonance. And it's been, up to this point, war, conflict, harmony, trying to be established through conflict, you see.
Disharmony.
Doesn't quite work, you know. It keeps everybody. Maybe the idea is that we want harmony, that is functional harmony, which means that we learn to live and let live and use our diversity to make really good music with. So I see it's changing, yes. It'll be a merger of the two, of course.
I just wanted to get back to your question. The Mayans say that this cycle was the alignment on December 21st with the sun, with the galactic center, with the black hole, the womb of creation. Out of the womb after December 21st, a new sun was born. So all the old energies, maybe those negative energies, were swallowed up by that black hole, and we're coming into a new time. So I just want to ask, what concrete things can we see this year going forward? I mean, you know, we can talk about...
We're going to see the new music is going to be sacred tone improvisation. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be master musicians and people who are not master musicians gathering together to make spontaneous sound. And this is what we have called it, spiritual free jazz. And so this is, I think, what is going, because it is the most healing music. Otherwise, why would the jazz musicians do it, getting together to improvise? It's like being right at the fountainhead itself. So this is going to be common, I think, more common.
What makes something sacred music?
Sacred music, living music, the music that comes through that place, sacred place within the musician, you see. And that's why I think they call it sacred music, really.
David, what do you think we have to look forward to with all your cycles that are value. People love Alex Gray stuff because it's something you can't photograph. It's something that is felt through inside you. And new forms. What were you going to
say? Well, you know, the last time we saw the last Uranus-Pluto alignment, we saw the emergence of flower power, which really was pervasive in the arts, right? You know, there was some psychedelic coming out of somewhere. There was the nihilism, which is the darker end of the Uranus-Pluto, especially like Yoko Ono art, that type of thing, which makes a statement, right, a social or political statement. You know, I believe we're going to see it happen more in the realm of technology and less so in those type of bookstores that were common in London in the mid-60s. What was it called? Where John met Yoko. 1966 in November, the Indica, where they had all this alternative books, you know, and then they had a, and in these bookstores, they had a second level where people were able to show this their art, and it was very psychedelic and alternative. And
digital is an art form. Those people coming up
right.
with new apps, that's
right.
their
well,
art.
That's their art, and you're going to see it on the internet a lot more. But the internet's going to go through this, Internet 2 or 2.0 is coming out.
What does that look like?
It's going to be a complete. It's going to be more virtual, more interactive. You're going to be able to feel, touch, sense. All right. It's going to revolutionize many aspects of it. What? It's already here. It's already here, and it's going to be through this.
Wait, but let me get to David. Why don't you talk about what you see coming, really specifically, if you can, the next year and a couple of years down the road.
I agree with you both, and your question is very good. Where are we going? World cycles. We're getting into some details about biorhythms. We're getting into details of countries, namely the United States, but simply in the world cycles. Here's the overview. We had a physical high cycle for two centuries that gave us the machine age. Industrial revolution and warlike tendencies. That was a physical high in the world. That's low now. That crossed down. From 1978 to 1990, it went through a downward crossover day. Day in the world, last 12 years. You had the fall of the Shah of Iran. You had the Iranian hostage crisis. You had the Berlin Wall come down. You had the Tiananmen Square incident in China. All of this was castles crumbling. The empires of the physical military-industrial complex all around the world, it's falling. The United States is going to continue to decline to the extent that we put our strength on the military-industrial complex. And indeed, we are not the world leader militarily. It's now considered that China is the military leader by some people, not all. But sometimes the strong will lead. You got it. And sometimes the spirited will lead, and sometimes the smart will lead. So the power centers of the world now are moving away from lawyers, guns, and money to those who have faith and those who have brains. Why? Because while the physical cycle is now low and declining, going into a reformist era, while we're going to clean up the mess we made with pollution and anti-ecological, something is happening with the emotional cycle of the world and the intellectual cycle of the world.
Emotional.
Flowering of the sacred female.
Bingo! The emotional cycle and the intellectual cycle of the world are simultaneously doing something that happens only once so many thousands of years. They are both crossing up into the high half at the same time.
When's that issue?
We're in it, baby. This is a double upward crossover. And that began in the year 2000.
And how long does that last?
12 years.
Jody? The idea of that crossing, but also in relation to the idea that we're getting more technical.
Right.
But at the same time, we're becoming more spiritual and more internal to kind of come to our, you know, the wholeness we're talking about. So, with what you just said, is that why, are we having both, or is it going back to, because with all the technical stuff, it almost becomes like disconnected to humanness.
I think that's the virtual stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, the virtual, it's almost like it's not from us, it's like a whole other.
Maybe that's a spiritual awakening as well, because we're really just virtual machines anyway.
It is, but at the same time, the sort of personal connection and communication.
Although we're virtual, although we're machines, there is an awakening where we're having more awakened beings like you.
So we're coming into form. Patty,
I just wanted to actually become something that's all rather than two of one, so people that feel further away from you.
Patty has a comment.
I just wanted to comment. I don't know if Lynn Swift, Soul of Money, she's written Soul of Money. She talks about how the some information that kind of relates to what you talked about, the planet Uranus and
Pluto.
That is intense and for how many years?
I would say primarily for this entire decade.
Okay. She says, you know, ecology, economy, same thing.
Right.
And basically,
okay.
It's about the balance. Well, it comes from balance of the two. She's the prophet from the indigenous people. They say that the material, the resource rich people, going to be a lot of them will be looking at spiritual, and the resource poor are more spiritually. So it's about really the balance. And so she talked about the economy right now. Like it's a good sign that we're going through this, because we really have to, because we're over depleting the planet over 40 times that it can regenerate itself, apparently. And so it's really important right now. So find the balance of the two.
I think it does go with what Jody's saying. We're becoming more spiritual and more physical. We're kind of becoming more embodied with a physical, with a spiritual awareness that we're in the body.
Right. Right.
That's what
I agree. I mean, I just think that we're going to have to accept the fact that more people are having awakenings with each other and articulating them on Facebook than they are at the Meta Center. And that seems to be an issue now because, you know, I talk to more with Alan on Facebook than we do person to person, you know. And it's just the reality of things. And the way.
But, you know, that's okay because it's always the emotional content that is carried through dialogue, whether face-to-face or
right.
In, on Facebook. I mean, there's something to get from a physical, but still, we're emotional beings that connect with our larger world population
right.
through Facebook or email or something. Well, maybe that's the key, our destiny.
The keyboard, mouse, and monitor interface, as we know it, is disappearing. And something is soon going to replace that very shortly. I mean, when I mean that, I mean by the end of the decade. And
what does that look like?
I don't quite know what it looks like. I see
remote viewing.
No, I know. Well, remote viewing within the internet.
Wait, Jody, go ahead, Jody.
Well, that web of connecting to the internet and everything else might be that we're going more towards, as we become more enlightened, we'll be able to do this more telepathically.
Yeah.
So we want, you know, we can connect to people from all over the place, but also the whole world, and tap into things.
Sure.
More intuitive.
Let me get a question back there, yeah.
It's almost to the point where communication becomes more instantaneous, because right now it feels like the internet and Facebook, it just takes so much time, it takes a while. I have an idea, I want to connect, and I don't have to go to Facebook and to my emails, and, you know, and it's, I mean, I think everyone feels it, but you just don't have enough time.
There's so many.
So it's like getting to technology that is more instantaneous.
Maybe it's training us to really be
Or maybe it'll go in conjunction where we're more transcendental and the technology will enhance that.
Possible.
Awesome. Yeah, I believe so.
Well, I also wanted to add that the technological advances and all the inventions have to be accompanied by some kind of social, the awareness of the social cost. And all the adverse psychological effects of using technology. And all the economic and social costs of making this technology. And as Jody was saying, it seems to be taking us away from nature. And it seems that to go forward in the future, we need to have a marriage of technology and nature rather than being psychologically,
I believe that's happening.
Yeah, Jody.
I believe that's happening.
The other thought I just had was the idea that with all this technology that even we were saying, that's so cool, that think about how you can create a wrench or a phone or whatever, but it's almost like spirit into physical form, which is what we are. Mm-hmm. So my sense as we were talking is that maybe it's that needing all of this to kind of awake to our multidimensional understanding of ourselves, because we're tapping into... I'm already open myself multidimensionally, but to have it actually physically here in multidimensions, it's almost the same thing, but visually and in the moment. So it's kind of, maybe it's just a mirror.
One of my predictions was the second psychedelic revolution. All right, because that's where we deal with various aspects of our being, the transcendental and the various different the perinatal, the biographical, the psychodynamic, but the transpersonal. And I think that we're going to see a reemergence. I think holotropic
breath work is going to go much more mainstream. I know Graf is working very hard on that. I think you're going to see a reemergence again, especially with the underground internet, where people are going to get access to holotropic substances again, and experimenting with them, which is going to which basically, from my assessment, sort of ignited the counterculture revolution and all the creativity. I mean, I think, sure, the psychedelics is something that nobody really wants to talk about or admit to, at least in public. They do privately, but, you know, some of my clientele.
It was the revolution of the 60s with psychedelics.
Right, was fueled.
Absolutely.
And breaking down the walls of perception and the thinning the realm between conscious and unconscious, or the personal and transpersonal. I think that's a big, big theme that a lot of astrologers are not talking about because it's too controversial, and it goes into some creative potential.
Wait, we had a comment right here.
Yeah. Okay, I read today, before I came over here, Gizmo or somebody, I was checking out, and they now, somebody is saying within a year we will be able to program music or an entire book into the DNA. And that is absolutely frightening, because then who gets to program it? Who is in charge? And this
program the DNA, what happens then?
I have no idea. I mean, I'm just bringing it out.
Well, what they do is take tremendous amount of and put it within the same method, same molecular structure as DNA. So instead of needing all this space, they can do it within like 5 or 6 molecules. All right? And that can totally transform the way you store information and utilize and access information.
And what is the information, and who is going to control it? That's a
It's an essential question. Who controls 60% of the wealth in the United States,
yeah.
The 1%. Nobody asks these questions. And these will be issues during this period when Uranus Pluto gets closer and closer over the next 3 years.
Don was a little shocked.
He's
like,
what? He's scary, man.
Well, you know, it's the Uranus song is the gong of this new 2001-year period. So, and Uranus gong is what it's meant for, its enlightenment. Eureka! All of a sudden it just awakens people like this. It's like a bolt that just shocks
is that
you.
Is a real thing, Uranus gong?
Hmm?
It's a real actual object.
Yeah, it's a gong, and it's 207 cycles something per second. Which happens to be a very famous fraction, larger and larger and larger until you get to that thing.
And where is that gong?
Oh, it's not a big gong, it's a little gong, but it's tuned to the orbit of Uranus.
Oh,
it is? Yeah.
And does that align you, like initiate you to a kind of Uranus frequency?
Sure.
How does that play out within the psyche?
How did that play out? Well, I mean, obviously, Uranus has to do with necessary revelation, as referred to the aha moments. But I think with Uranus, it's certainly going to break down and shake up our false perceptions about ourselves. All right, and Uranus has more to do with revealing our true identity,
planet of Aquarius. I mean,
right. I mean, we're all collectively connected to each other. All right, and the absolute consciousness or the void, depending on your experience, and that it is not the individuation in itself, but the transcendence of that individuation, and that path of individuation is what Uranus is about. It brings us to that.
So what I'm getting here, that we're moving into something new, something unknown, something that no one has ever seen before, and all we could do is kind of like smell it coming in the future, or it's like pulling us to this unknown, but it's up, it's an awakening, it's a transformation, it's a metamorphosis, and we're, may have a little readjustment period.
It's revolutionary.
And it's
something like we've never seen. It's a really our new realities we're coming into. No, I think so. I mean, would you say that, David?
We are, and what you're saying seems to echo a common thread I heard in the questions from everybody. And while all this is going on, we haven't mentioned yin and yang.
What do you mean?
Yang.
Yeah.
Is physical. Yin is emotional.
Mm-hmm.
The intellectual cycle is neither yin or yang. Yang is masculine, yin is feminine. Intelligence is neither masculine nor feminine. It is neither and it's both. When the physical cycle, you have a lot of yang energy. And that's why we had the military-industrial complex and all of the wars. Now that's low. It crossed low in our lifetime. And now, with this double upward crossover of the world emotional, world intellectual cycle, we're talking about the shift of economics to China, which happens every 528 years. We're talking about what it's doing economically. We're talking about how we're cleaning up the ecology. But not everyone is aware of the rising age of romanticism that we're going into.
That's the art. Really?
And that's the art.
And what does that mean to you, romantic?
Romanticism means, you know, you have a physical high, the most important thing is what you see.
Mm-hmm.
When you have an emotional high, the most important thing is what you hear.
And feel.
And so, Don, I'm leading up to a question that I want to ask you. I believe that people are beginning to listen more now. A wonderful term came out in 1990 called emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And we are leading more of our hearts. With emotion, you have the ability to leap beyond the limits of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
When I was studying this, I went as far as my mind could go, not as far as somebody else's mind, but I went as far as I could with my mind to figure all this out. And I couldn't. It was too much. I had to get it. I had to get it. It's like getting it. And then I became aware on an emotional level. And the minute I did that, all the women in the world went, really? What took you so long?
Yeah. But also the physical level, I mean, getting,
so,
thank you for that. No, because
but
it's a feeling.
It.
That's what feeling is. That's why I think the gong is so powerful, because you can't intellectualize it. You're impacted by it.
And so, Don, my question to you. As we're moving, I believe we're moving now into an age of reason, out of the military complex, and we're moving into a new age of romanticism. This is going to last for more than the next centuries. Do you believe that people are moving into a new consciousness now, just getting into it recently, that people are listening more now? Are they responding? Are more people going to be affected and realize the power of vibration?
But yes, I think the question is the answer. It is, of course, what you just said. But the idea is that as we look at life musically, you see, we all become musicians. So one of the things that people need to do is they need to learn a little bit more about music. A lot of people haven't been given the gift of understanding of music at all. And when we're teaching around the world, we find out that especially the different cultures, they're missing a lot of stuff that we know about music they don't know about. So the gong is a music unto itself. But the most important thing is that it does create stillness. It creates an openness. It allows, there's an eternity there. And that's what we want to get to, that still point of balance. Because we hear a lot of voices in our mind. Usually there are ego complaining voices, you know, this is the, you know. But the voice of the inner silence is, we call it the voice of the gong. That is, we all have that, there's the same voice. After a gong bath is over, we're all sort of coming back and, you know, to the world. We really feel at that time that there is one. That unity of oneness in diversity. I think that's where we're going. The group experiences of oneness together. Yes, and then we can't fight anymore between ourselves.
I think we should start to wrap up a little bit, but we'll get like closing, impactful, powerful predictions, or however you want. So
whatever you want.
We'll start with you, William. No, so what do you see coming, and how people find you and all that, but tell us what's happening first.
Well, you can find me on my website, williamstickevers.com.
And you give personal sessions?
I'm taking a year off. I've read for over 6,000 people worldwide since 1991, so it's quite a number of people every year, and I decided to take some time off. I just finished publishing a book, Japan, on very much what we're talking here today, and actually they didn't publish it as a astrology book. They published it as a what you would call a trends forecast book, so it can get to the greater population, and I centered it instead of the United States being Japan-centric instead of being U.S.-centric. And then I talked about the emergence of also included in that book, which we didn't discuss today, UFOs in a national security state, and how that's a military problem for not just the United States but for the world. And it does have an impact in how the modus operandi of the military-industrial complex in the United States and how that affects Japan and its relationship with China. But I talk about that, especially how it's relevant in 1947 when it began, Roswell crash and the emergence of the national security state and the Uranus-Pluto, and then how we're going to see the developments of disclosure and various other factors that are related to the ET presence on Earth.
What year are we going to see start the beginning of disclosure?
I believe we're in the early phase of it. We've already seen Brazil. We've seen Britain. We've seen a number of other countries already disclose numerous documents of military interventions on craft that were superior in every way to our best vehicles. The U.S. has the most engagements and of this, and the most documentation of any nation. There is documentation of extraction teams, reverse engineering projects, and various other things, all related to that. That very much, in fact, one of the biggest issues, and I agree with Richard Dolan on this, is the fact that the compartmentalized security that we see started when the national security state started, and that was basically the fundamental root to that, was the UFO problem, the extraterrestrial problem, began this black budget compartmentalized security, which is now really out of control. It has no oversight and goes outside the bounds of the Constitution, and the president is not even informed or even aware of most of these ongoing projects. But at any rate, we're going to see that begin to break down, all right? And which is going to coincide with what I believe is a breakdown of the two-party system, a constitutional crisis between states and the federal government. We've already in the midst of peak oil. It doesn't mean you're running out of oil. It means that it's costing more oil to get the same amount of oil out of the ground than it did the year before, and will keep rising exponentially. I believe we're going to see the collapse of the Eurozone or a near collapse, which will be technically a collapse, derivative market meltdown. I believe we're going to see many types of crises that are going to emerge, not just in the Middle East, but also in Asia. But going back to summoning up here, what I see, again, I really believe large-scale demonstrations will not be contained to the 17 nations that are in revolution right now in the Middle East. In fact, there's more. How many nations right now are in a state of revolution or social upheaval? All right, it's somewhere around 40. That's increasing, and that's going on here too. All right, and we're going to see that pick up with an intensity and speed with the likes that we've never seen before. It's going to make the 60s look like a picnic. All right, and with the internet revolution, it will occur first on the internet, which is already happening now. It'll be funded by PayPal, all right? And it won't be the young kids. It'll be everyone born between the majority. I'm talking the majority. The generation X is between 62 and 72 will be the core of that movement, especially in the United States. So that's what I'm predicting with that.
We need to wrap up.
Okay, so...
Okay.
I'll let you
know. Okay, so that's your final thing.
in this revolution, we're going to be coming into a flowering of a new humanity.
Yeah. I believe with that revolution, the results of that revolution in terms of the turnover is going to probably more likely happen in mid-2020s. It's not going to be happening within 2 or 3 years, unfortunately. But we will see a dramatic turnaround socially, economically, politically. I don't believe China is going to be the emerging number one de facto superpower. I do believe we could have this discussion another time, but I do believe there will be a power struggle, all right? Like there was a power struggle between Britain and the United States and earlier power struggles.
In Soviet Union,
yes.
All right, thank you, William.
Wow, that was great, William.
Thank you.
And your website, William, is William Stick Evers. William, STICKEVERS, .wordpress.com.
Oh, .com.
Okay, very good, very good. That's a lot of stuff. Okay, I'm going to do this real quick. Where do I believe we're going? I believe a lot of what I heard tonight, except that I believe that the period of crisis and chaos is about to end. The emotional intellectual cycles I mentioned that we're crossing up that began in 2012, we're in a 12-year period that gave us the emotional upheaval, which is a religious upheaval, and the jihads, the attacks on New York and Washington on September 11th, was part of that upward crossover. The Arab Spring that we're seeing now, and Gaddafi and Mubarak and others, and Syria is on the verge of collapsing, and there are many nations, as you say, in upheaval. This is the emancipation out of gender slavery. This is breaking out of a repressive time, and it's happening. This is birth pangs of a new era. The collapse in 2008 of land values has led, this was a problem all around the world. The government of Iceland was completely replaced.
The government of what?
Of Iceland, completely collapsed and was completely replaced. This was affected all around the world. This is the 12-year period of the emotional and intellectual cycles crossing up, and that is about to end. And what it brings is a time of unification and a time of everybody coming together to new precedents, which will form new standards.
As a planet, you're saying?
As a planet. You mentioned the death of an ego. In a person, we know what that means.
And the collective Western ego.
Yes. See, in countries, death of an ego means less nationalism.
Right.
So the world is becoming more flat. But rest assured, the birth pangs of the era that we're just about out of the crisis, and we are going into the age of reason, the age of romanticism, doesn't mean the end of all of our problems, but it's less warlike and a lot more beautiful, a lot more feminine. Yes. And it's because it's due. It's time, and people are going to listen more. Don, you got a good segment of time here.
Good.
Yeah, my website is kalarhythms.com, K-A-L-A, rhythms.org. You can go to .com or .org. Ka is ancient Egyptian for energy. Kala is Sanskrit for time. Kalarhythms are the changes of energy through time. Don Conroe.
Don goes, I'll say goodbye, and then maybe Don could do like a final
goodbye. Okay. All right. Well, of course, you know, it is true the next 13,000 years is going to be a feminine cycle here. And hopefully we'll be able to get rid of all the wars and stuff that we have on Earth today.
Yes.
I think so. So I see us becoming a one planet, a synergy is going to take over. We're going to look at the other country and say, what is it that you need? What gifts can I give to you? How can I give to you? And that's it. And then that country will back off and they say, but you didn't want anything in return. It's pure altruism. So the consciousness is going to change, like the gong is the greatest giver of all. And so it's going to make us, I'm a gong, you're a gong, we're going to be thinking about gifting and giving now and forget about everything else. And this is going to be the new homo luminous consciousness of this coming time.
Yeah.
Don, your website. Let's get your website.
You can go to my website, of course. But we started a new website called Gong Life, and gonglife.com, and we're coming out. We have our second newsletter out now, so you can get that newsletter free, and it's really great. The Gong Masters around the world are putting in articles, so, you know, it's a wonderful go to it.
Thank you, Don. Let me say a few words.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all. So your website again, Don, was
holistic-resonance.
Don Conroe is a master gonger, and we'll close with a gong. This is Alan Steinfeld from the Meta Center on January 24th, 2013. What I got out of this panel was that, you know, people talk about the individual and the collective, but I really got a sense how the personal cycles are so much involved with a bigger cycle of consciousness that is the collective. And I do think the ET disclosure is when we really come together as a planet, because it's only when we meet the other do we know that we are one race of humanity. We don't know that if it's just us. We know that in terms of the other. So I think the disclosures, as it's beginning, and it has begun, and it's probably a 200-year cycle or 100-year cycle before it's fully acknowledge, brings us into the place of a unity, and that has to do with our orientation to the galaxy and becoming part of a galactic family, which creates a bigger cycle. David, you have more work to do, the galactic cycle. Anyway, my website is newrealities.com. Thank everybody for listening, for coming, for being here, and we're going to close. Thank you. Up next month, we have a panel on Kundalini Awakening and the Evolution of Consciousness. That's February 21st here at the Meta Center. We have a film festival coming up next weekend, Thursday, January 31st, February 1st, and February 2nd. We have some great spiritually awakening films, a film about Joseph Campbell next Thursday. We have Deepak Chopra's Decoding Deepak. And then we have a new film on the Dalai Lama on Saturday, so called The Road to Peace. Next Saturday night. So, Don, give us a final sound bath for the evening, and thank you. Thank you.
Conroe. Thank you, Gong Master.
Dave, wrap it up.
It's the end of our show, folks. Thank you for listening. We're going to be doing more pop-ups and shows. Just keep coming back to blogtalkradio.com/cycles to learn more. I'm David Katzmeier here at the Meta Center in New York, MetaCenterNY.com. Thanking you for joining us this Thursday, January 24th, 2013. Blessings. And good night.
Thank you, audience.
Yes.